All right, for the last couple of weeks, this is the third one, I've been in a sermon series called Final Words. Final Words. We're looking at the last words that Jesus said while on the cross. And there were seven different things that we have in the Word of God that record, or seven different things that he said on the cross while he was being crucified. So please turn to John 19. And if you forgot your Bible or your device, you can use one of those pew Bibles in front of you. They are blue. And you can turn to page 932, and that will put you right on John 19. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible of your own, you do now. You take one of those blue Bibles, take it home. That'll make us thrilled if we see you walking away with a Bible. That's for you, our gift to you if you need one. I hope you can come for the entire morning next week. We have a sunrise-themed service. Our youth are going to lead us in that. We get the breakfast after, and then we have Sunday school and a regular service, and the services will not be even close to identical. We have special things planned at both services, so if you can, I hope you can be here the whole morning. It's going to be a great, great day. This week, we're going to look at the final two things that Jesus said from the cross. And this message is called The End, or really, The End with a question mark. Now, you already know the answer to that question because you know the whole story. It wasn't the end, but put yourself in the shoes of the early followers of Jesus. They didn't know what was going to happen next. This is unfolding in real time. So to them, once you're dead, right? You're just dead. I mean, he made some kind of references to rising again, but they didn't really get it until it happened. So you're dead, right? No, wrong. You're not. We'll get to that next week on Resurrection Sunday. I stole my title for the sermon, or inspired by something anyway, from a movie that came out in 1958. I did not see it. I wasn't born yet, so. I saw it on TV about 15 years later. It's called The Blob. Anybody see the original 1958 Steve McQueen and Anita Corson? Yeah. If you watched it today, you would think it was the most hilarious thing you ever saw. I'm not saying it's not for young kids anyway, but when you're a little kid and special effects weren't quite where they are now, we were scared. My friend Mark Dever and I watched that movie late at night after the parents had gone to bed on Channel 30 out of St. Louis, and it scared the snot out of us. And it got to the end of the movie, and of course it ended on a hopeful note. And they figured out, well, to get rid of the blob, we're going to take it to the Arctic. And if it's frozen, it can't hurt anybody else. It can't do anything wrong. And so that was like the last scene. And then on the screen, like a lot of movies used to do, it said, "The End." And then that morphed into a question mark. And we were scared. I don't think we slept much that night. It scared us so bad. Now, that is an irrelevant, silly story. The things that Jesus said were serious, and they were very important. The death of Jesus was far scarier to these early disciples than any silly movie. To the people that followed Jesus, it was a sad end. It was over. Everything that they had believed in and the things that they were taught, and that now their leader is gone. It was over. It was done. And to the people that hated him and wanted to get rid of him, it was the best day of their lives. It's like, oh, good riddance. We got rid of this guy that had been causing so much trouble and stirring up people and getting these followers. They were happy about it. And he was dead. That's true. Jesus was as dead gets. So it was the end. Or was it? Today we're going to look at some things he said right before he died. Now get yourself in the context. It's about 3 p.m. Jesus has been on the cross since 9 a.m. It's been dark for a few hours. And he's close to death at this point. I'm using the New International Version today, the NIV. That will match your pew Bibles. It'll match the screens in a moment. If you're reading a different one, it'll be close to this. John 19:30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. 2 weeks ago, I looked at one of the sayings of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's just right back a few verses. We won't look at it now. And he said he was thirsty. And I use that to remind us all that he was 100% human. He had thirst. He had needs. He had everything that you go through. And so he was thirsty, a very basic human need. And someone responded to this and offered him a drink. But the drink that they offered him was like wine vinegar. And they had soaked it in a sponge and they stuck it up on a thing and offered it up to his mouth. The reason I bring that up, even though we didn't read it, we kind of read the tail end of it when he had finished the drink. That fulfilled a prophecy. Real quick, we're going to put it on the screen. Psalm 69:21. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. So it fulfilled a prophecy that was made centuries before Jesus was on the cross. Now let's flip back to John 19:30. Jesus said here, "It is finished." We have three English words, "it is finished," and that's translated from one Greek word, teleo. You don't have to remember teleo. You don't have to remember I'm probably not pronouncing it like a native Greek speaker anyway, but teleo. What I want you to know is what it meant to the original hearers of this event in the first century. Old receipts have been discovered. Archaeological things are still going on. They find stuff from the first century and older and way back. And not just biblical discovery, but other things. And they have found receipts from those days. For instance, a tax bill. They found tax bills with the word teleo written over them. And to that first century, it meant paid in full. Some of you in here, I won't ask you to raise your hand if you have experienced this in your life. I remember my mother doing this, and we had to do this in Guatemala because it was different. But you may remember there was a time when you paid your bill. You went to the place. You went to the phone company office, or you went to the electric office, and you paid your bill. And if you're old enough to remember this, sometimes, and they did this in Guatemala, that you go to the place, you pay your bill, and they put a stamp on it. It says paid or paid in full, and the person might write a date on it. So you could prove that you paid the bill, right? Now we use... Well, some still use snail mail. We pay all our bills online. The word and the concept here are important. Jesus did not say, "I am finished. I'm done. I'm about to die." He said, "It is finished." Teleo. He had been made sin for you and I. He took on every sin that you have committed. Every sin that you might be struggling with now, going through now, involved with now, or ever, even sins into the future that you don't even know you're going to commit. He paid for those on the cross. Sin has a price. And the price of sin has always been death from the very first chapters of Genesis. Jesus wrote, if you want to think of it this way, he wrote teleo over your sin bill, what you had coming. Paid in full. It is finished. Your debt to God was paid for by Jesus himself in that moment. Now, if you look at Luke, and if you want to turn to Luke 23, Luke said something different. He reported something different that Jesus said right before he died. And if you're using those Pew Bibles, you can go to page 908. Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Now, you may have a version open that's different from the NIV, and it might say entrust. Almost all English versions, except for some specialty ones, will use one of those two words, commit or entrust. Jesus knew he was about to experience something that he never had experienced before as a human being, and that was death. None of us have experienced really what it's like to die. We don't really know what all happens, you know. And Jesus entrusted, he committed his spirit. The essence of who he was, just like you have a soul or spirit, the part that lives on after this earthly body dies, he put his trust in Father God as to whatever was going to happen next. And the main thing I want you to remember about this is that he said this right before he died. And the other thing, I'm going to repeat this, but remember that he really died. Don't listen to anybody that says different. Now, of course, you and I, we know there's a surprise coming on Sunday morning. A plot twist. except it wasn't a made-up plot twist like in a book or a movie. This was real. They didn't see this coming at all. And we're going to get there next week. But don't rush too quickly from the celebration of Palm Sunday and all of that. I know I didn't preach on it this week. But to rush from that right to the resurrection, because that's an exciting celebration too. I think, in my observation, I don't know if this has been true for you, but I think especially as evangelical churches, we just kind of skip over that crucifixion thing when we're thinking about Holy Week. Some churches call it Holy Week. So mentally and spiritually, this is a challenge. Resist the urge to rush to that celebration of the resurrection of Jesus without lamenting over his death. That's another thing I've noticed in evangelical world that I kind of live in, is that we don't really lament very much. There's a whole Bible, or book of the Bible, called Lamentations. It's all laments, and about 40% or so of the Psalms are laments, crying out to God. They're negative Psalms. And we think we always have the face on for Sunday morning, and everything's got to be fine. How you doing? I'm doing great, so on and so on. Sometimes we're not doing great, and sometimes there are things to legitimately lament over. Think about what the death of Jesus on the cross means to you. I mean, in practical terms, what it means to you. The forgiveness of your sins. I realize I didn't tell you anything you didn't already know. But think about that. The forgiveness of your sins. All of them. Not just the ones people know about. Those other sins too. I know what my life looked like at one time. And Jesus has forgiven us. Without the death of Jesus, you would have had to pay for your own sins. And since the beginning, the penalty of sin is death. Just what it is. Now, we read from John and we read from Luke. Don't get hung up on the fact that the accounts seem to differ. It is true that John reported one thing and then Jesus died, and Luke said something different and then Jesus died. If you look, don't go there now, but Matthew and Mark, they just say, Jesus cried out, and they don't have any words. So which one is right? Are they contradicting each other or what? No, they're all right. All four of them are correct. They're not contradicting one another. They are enhancing the overall account of what happened at the cross by reporting different things from their point of view or what they wanted to emphasize in their book. So think about it like this. Say several of us went to the Missouri State Fair this summer, and then we were back at church on Sunday, and all of us that went, I don't know why we would do this, but we would get together and talk about the State Fair. Well, one person might talk about, oh, we went to see the artist that was there, you know, the music artist. I think the Beach Boys played there a couple of years ago, and a couple of people from here went. Other people might say, well, I looked at the animals and saw the awards and talked to some of the people that had the animals there. Somebody else might say, oh, I just rode carnival rides all day until I couldn't anymore. Somebody else might say, well, I would spend a lot of time with the vegetables and the flower arrangements and all the awards they got. Somebody else might say, oh, we pretty much just went to the beauty pageant. Now, all of those are accurate descriptions of the same event on the same day. All four Gospels are very clear. All four Gospels report that Jesus died on the cross. Matthew and Mark don't put anything in there that he said he cried out. John emphasized that Jesus said, it is finished. And that's like a cry of victory. It's not a cry of defeat. And for Luke, who probably got his information from Peter, he emphasized that Jesus said to the Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There's no contradiction there at all. They're reporting two different things. And what I think, and this is only a guess, so underline it three times in your minds that I'm just making a guess here because I don't know. My guess is this, is that Jesus said, it is finished, and then immediately said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and then he died. Within seconds, this happened. It is finished. I commit my spirit into your hands, Father. Three of the four gospel writers said he did it in a loud voice. That tells us something. Jesus was strong. He was in his right mind. He wasn't, you know, hallucinating or just babbling things out. He said what he said because he meant what he said. And if you want to speculate and put them in reverse order, I'm not going to argue with you. That's the way what makes most sense to me. But you could turn them the other way. It doesn't matter. But that moment, what was said right before and the moment that followed, that's when Jesus died. And he made it possible for anyone's sins to be forgiven. Anyone's. And he died for them. Think about this. He died for all the sins that you know which ones you've been involved in. He died for those sins and made a way for you before you were born. He knew what the sins were because he's God. And he died before you were even born. He knew you before you were born. And there was more to come. I love Oswald Chambers. He's a writer. I don't know if you've ever read any of his works. His most popular and most well-known is My Utmost for His Highest. Very highly recommended for me daily devotional. If you get it, get the updated language one. If I like that one a little better. And so you may have heard of that, but he wrote other things as well. And here's something that Chambers said about the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus was not the death of a martyr. It was the revelation of the eternal heart of God. Lots of people have died for causes. Some die for good causes. Some die for bad causes. That's a martyr, right? Jesus wasn't just a martyr. It revealed who God was. To die on the cross revealed the depth of the love God has for every single one of you and me. And that is just, I can't even get my head around it. That's how much he loves you. The death of Jesus was not the death of a martyr. It was the revelation of the eternal heart of God. And we sang a worship song early in the service. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And I told you that a diadem is a synonym for a crown. And it's especially the kind of crown like at the crowning a new king or a queen. We place it on his head. And that song gives you a lot of word pictures about that. Jesus certainly is worthy to wear the greatest crown ever, whatever that is. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But I'm going to put this crown away until next week. I want us to think about this one in the next few moments. I have to be careful with this. And I can't do an object lesson by jamming it on the head because I have blood all over me. Because this thing is for real sharp. But they put this on Jesus' head. They mocked him. They even put on the cross. It said, King of the Jews. And there he is wearing this crown of terrible, painful thorns, you know. And he just let him do it. He voluntarily died. He didn't cry out against the injustice that had been perpetrated on him. He stayed there for 6 hours and died. He took on sin. He took on your sin. So I want us to focus on that crown this morning. We're going to remember that death. And to talk about it, I need to back up to the previous evening, Thursday night. Jesus was having Passover meal with his followers. And during the meal, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, pass this around and eat it. This is my body. This is my body broken for you. Now, remember, this is before the crucifixion. They don't understand. Why is he saying this? But, you know, they followed him and listened to him. And then later in the meal, he took a cup of wine and said, this is my blood poured out for the sins of many. Take and drink it. Again, what's he talking about? It's his blood. But they did it. And then he told us, God's word tells us, that this is something he gave us to remember him by. And that's communion, if our servers would come on up. But this is how we remember. It's very simple. You know, the bread, doesn't matter what kind of bread it is. Or we have juice in ours. We don't want to mess anybody's sobriety up. But it's very simple and not hard to understand what it means. But its meaning is very profound. Its meaning is very deep. It represents what Jesus did on the cross He died for you and for me and every you that is in here. And so as this bread comes around, if you would hold on to it, we'll take it together as a church body. And as Twyla Garber plays during this time of serving, think about how Jesus put his body on the line for you, right up to and including death. So think about that. Jesus really did put his life on the line for you. It wasn't just a cross. They severely beat him before they put him up there. He said, "My body's broken for you." So today, we remember the depth of the Father's love, the depth of Jesus' sacrifice, the leading of the Holy Spirit. We remember you, Jesus, today. Take and eat. Ever since the beginning, life is found in the blood. I don't know, I might be proven wrong someday, but it's interesting to me that science has not come up with artificial blood. And I don't know if it ever will, but I find that interesting. So we're going to do the same thing. If you hold your cup until everybody has theirs, we'll take this together as we remember Jesus. Life is in the blood. When you think about it, Jesus was the only person to ever live that never sinned. So he didn't need to die for his sins because he didn't commit any. But he chose to die for yours and mine. And we remember the blood that he spilled for the remission, for the payment of our sins. We remember you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We take and drink. Let's remember. Father, we thank you for this time of remembrance. We thank you for loving us this much, a love that we cannot humanly understand. But we give you praise and honor. We thank you that you were willing to do this for us. Help us to focus on that and understand that as we look forward to the celebration of the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.